Next time Mac asks me to speak, I'm coming up here first. Good evening. It's good to see y'all in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Now, I hadn't planned on doing a whole lot of crying this afternoon, but if I do start crying, I'll start back to talking when I get ready. But I'm not the type of guy that can start crying. And when you talk about Jesus, in certain areas, I start crying. Tonight, I want to talk with you about a couple things. And if I cry for a while, I got some things I got to say. So we might be here all night. I was going to cut up a minute and tell you that I was going to let you out before dark and not be like the preachers do. But we got here all early. By all means, I should let you out before dark. Amen. But I got some things. I worked on some things this week. And coincidentally, well, one thing, let me set a record clear or get something out in the open. I like to smell cow lots, too. And the cow ranches, if you play down. You get them bottled down in one little area, it don't smell as good. But when you go out and see them in the field, I like that also. And then it's just the way I is and raised on the farm and come up. I just like that. But let me get that out right quick. But tonight I'm going to be talking to you a couple things. I had something else I wanted to say to start with. Now y'all got me all messed up here. But I want you to think about tonight our relationship between God, between us and God, or you and God, and I want you to think about in the message and as I be speaking, is what does God think about you? What does He think about me? And each one of us is going to wear this and think about it as we go to talking and going down the road. I want you to keep asking yourself the question, what does God think about me? And I'm going to be reading, and I'm going to base the message mostly on love, prayer, and blessings. No, me and Mike didn't get together and talk until I got our message ready. When he got ready to the pulpit this morning, he started preaching on John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I said, golly, there he goes. But one good thing, I said, he took about not what I was going to say away, because there's so much about love in the Bible, I got plenty left. And where my text was taken from weren't where his came from. So that means it's more than one place in the Bible. Amen. You that read the Bibles, you know that. You know that it's all widespread all throughout the New Testament. The Old Testament as well. But I read it a lot, and I try to stay more in the New Testament. I understand a little better in the New Testament. I like to just reflect back to our Bible history and work in the Old Testament as well, because there's a lot of important and good stuff in there. But God commands us to love Him and all mankind. And in the book of Mark, chapter 12, I tell you, you turn there while you're finding your place. Let me tell you a little story right quick. Maybe I can get my throat all cleared up here and get ready. About 20 years ago, I had a contract to build a little old office complex, which was a office facility on one side of it and a bathroom and a shower, employee shower, bathroom on the other side. We got it all built, and work was slow that winter, not, you know, just for them weeks. So time come to hang the drywall, the sheetrock, as you may know it, but the drywall is referred to as drywall. So I told my guys, we ain't got a whole lot to do, and I know y'all can't hang drywall, but do you want to hang drywall so we can make some time? They said, yeah, let's do it. So we went in and commenced hanging drywall. About 3 days later, we had that little building hung. But remember, I didn't have about 7 men. We got it all hung up, and I thought it looked pretty good. I called this guy, asked the electrician, electrical contractor. I said, Clem. I said, I need a guy to finish the sheetrock. Can you get me somebody that tell me a good man? He said, yeah. He said, call this guy, and I forgot his name. It's been a long time ago, some 21 years now. He's down out of Sumter, and that morning he said he'd be there at his old station wagon rolled up. His trowels and shovels and brooms and little boards he worked with. You didn't even have to open the door. You could kind of get them out of the windows, what was left of the windows. He got out of there. He's rather a big man. His old Big Ben cover hall with pencils and little stuff in his thing here, in his bib. Had his britches legs rolled up. I think he had on shoes. It was a cold February, early March day. And then I think he had on shoes, but I can't be sure. But if he did, there weren't no toes much in them. But he was a big guy, big feet, big guy. Not saying anything ugly about it. He's just a big guy. He got out, and I met him outside, and I said, "You so-and-so, sir?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You want some, look at some sheep?" I said, "Yes, sir, and give me a price, please, to finish." He walks in the building. He walks around and looks around. He comes back to me as he goes out. He said, "I'll have you a price tomorrow." He said, "By the way, whoever hung your sheetrock did a good job." He said, "But I wouldn't let them hang no more." He said, "Matter of fact," he said, "I'd have hung it for you for nothing." He said, "Because now I got to finish it." But he knew whoever hung it never hung it before. I thought it looked quite well myself. The walls were pretty square and everything was in there, but there were some awful cracks in there. And I don't see why you can't take two boards and just put them together, but somewhere in that back room he's seen something I didn't see. So he charged me quite a bit of money to hang it, but I went ahead and paid it. Got done with it. So tonight when I get done speaking, I don't want you to feel up toward me as he did about as you are. Let him speak, but don't bring him no more. Mark 12:29. I was hoping I'd get something else going here and get me straightened out here. But it just ain't no sense in that. But Mark 12:29. The first of the command, Jesus is talking to the scribes here. The scribes was reckoning with perceiving and reckoning with themselves. Jesus said, and they asked Jesus about which is the first commandment. Jesus answered him in verse 29, and he said, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God is one Lord." Verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Now, also in Paul, I'm going to go ahead and jump over it real quick and get Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul said, he said, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity," he said, "these three, but the greatest of these is charity, which is love." When you, when I was a young boy, we grew up with there was 13 of us in the family. There was 11 children and two, mom and dad. And we grew up as sharecroppers. Anybody know what sharecroppers is? And that's where to finalize that is where you do all the work and the landowner gets all the money if there's any. Would anybody agree with me on that? Amen. Told a story one time, and this is not important, but I'll just go in at it because it might just get my head straightened out here a minute. And if I do, I get to go in here. And it's where the old guy, his daddy told me the story, and he said it was a true story. One of his brother-in-laws, he said he was figuring up, and they were weighing up what they had, and they were doing. So it was a settlement date. So they went in, and the man said, "Well," he said, "I got 5 bales of cotton, and I got a little bit back in the house," and he got done figuring what he owed and what he borrowed that year. He got everything done and settled up. And he said, "Well, looks like we broke even again." And the old tenant, he's sitting there in the shirt office, sitting there, and he was hoping he'd get something left from it. Well, being so honest, he spoke up as he went to walk out the door, and everything was just, it was clean. And he spoke up and he said, "There's 2 bales of cotton under that old barn that I hadn't even thought about." The man said, "Wait just a minute," took his pen out. He said, "Before we left, he got that 2 bales of cotton too." So that's what it means of sharecropping. He had to go back and refigure. If he'd have found 2 more bales, he might have figured up again. But I guess that guy, that weren't good. But anyway, we grew up like that, and we come on up. We had plenty, always. I had plenty to eat, plenty to wear, plenty of everything we needed. And it's unlike the times is now, to where we feel like we got to have more than we used to have, I guess. But I came up, and I said, well, and we went to church, and like everybody else went to church, you know, but not as regular as we should. And not like, so it seemed like the churches we go to now. The church, like this church is a good church, guys. As Brother Mike said, the best in South Carolina. But some churches back then don't seem like they, if maybe I didn't care or didn't catch on, but it didn't teach you in depth as way that I think we get taught here. In here and in our Sunday school classes. So, or maybe you just didn't perceive it or conceive it in them days, you know, like we do now. But anyway, I was determined. I said, "Well, Lord, one day I said I want to, you know, have a job." You know, most teenagers, and as we got teenagers in here, don't we? Yeah. So I didn't know we had a separate class. I was trying not to make eye, careful not to make eye contact with too many people, right? And I wanted to go out and do things and have something. But in them years, all the friends I had was my father's friends. And as I was sharing with the teenage group Wednesday night, I guess I was fortunate to have the friends that my father had because they were considered elders, older people. And to get this point across, with the teenagers is here and is a compliment to us older people, fathers, mothers, granddads, grandmas, to let the teenagers know and the young people know that everything we say ain't stupid. We do know something. We do know something. We don't know everything, but we do know something. We've been down a road that you have yet to go. And by listening to some of the things that these old people that don't know anything, it'll save maybe some, turn you away from some obstacles and maybe some bumps in the road. And we had a good meeting Wednesday night with the young guys. And I had learned a lot from these folks sitting and listening to them. You weren't allowed to talk, but you could listen. And I guess that's where you pick up more is when this is closed, this is open. And I was allowed to pick up on a lot of stuff, which helped me out a lot. So, but I know by going to church and by listening to Daddy and Mama as they were raising you up, that to love God and to serve God in all that you do. And as the years went through there, and we got away from the Lord a little bit, but then we come up and I met my wife. Well, my wife was a church girl, and I'd been going away from the church, and I'm telling you this a little bit so you can track this love thing, or this Jesus thing that has to do with love. And so we got married, prayed about it. We got married after we've known one another from about the 1st of September to January 11th. And young guys, y'all forget that now, because it's only happened about once in a while. Y'all forget that. So after them few months, we dated her three times. I snuck around twice. It was time to get married. After 35 years later, I seen that God didn't make no mistakes. It'll come out in a minute. Then when it gets out, it'll be gone. So you know, just be patient with me. Anyway, I knew that a handkerchief ain't made to blow your nose. It's to get that stuff out your eyes. The vows you take when you get married are much like the vows we have with our Lord. I could have spoken on something else. I could have spoken on something else. It was running rabbits or something. But when you took your vows, when you make vows, young people, or anybody that's going to get married, some of the older people that might be going to get married, you take vows for life. You make a commitment to your spouse. It's the same commitment as you make to God. As you get older, dispose to love your wife more than you did when you met her. If you don't, there's a problem. You're supposed to love God more every day. I'm only going to get halfway through this thing. I only had an hour planned, so that's all I had planned. But you're supposed to love them more every day. And you say, well, we don't do things like we used to. I had an old car one time we had, and as it got older, it didn't run like it's supposed to. Things just ain't supposed to continue like it all through life. Things are supposed to change, and then we get older. I told them, like I told a lot of the guys in the church here, you know, I get older and y'all get older. Y'all just don't stay as handsome as me, and I try to be, I want that out so you'll know how I feel about it. Me and Brother Ray is a little bit different story now, because me and him have a lot going on. Michael, the water bringer. I'm going to get through here in a minute, guys. Just be patient with me. I told him I'd sit there and listen. Mike gave me a tape today on Vern Gosling, had some of the prettiest gospel, and I listened in the truck, seen him playing that for about 15 minutes. And I cried for, out of them 15 minutes, I cried for a good 20. I said, when I get to church, now I won't cry. See, Leslie got me this morning. She started this thing off this morning. And she got me this morning. And Mike, he had to come on the scene, and he got me. So then Vern Gosling, he got me. I said, well, that's done. But right before I left the house, my throat was dry. I drank a half a glass of water, and I done it again. But anyway, the vows we took, and I got to quit jumping over here, the vows we took was forever, and the vows that we take to God is a commitment that we make to the Lord to serve Him. And if we could take tonight just a few minutes and take and look into the very depth of love, Look at the four-letter word, love. And don't just look at it as, I love you, honey, I love you, God. Look at it in very, very deep depth. So use that four-letter word. And look at love. Because if we have love, if you have love, when God put you together as a married couple, and if he had his hand in it, and he put you together, and he meant for you to stay together, you're still together. For whatever reason may happen, something may come down life's road, and then whatever happens between you and God, you know, after that, you know what the Scripture says. And I'm not throwing off anybody that's been married. I'm not going there at all, but I'm just saying that you work out a marriage the best you can, and then sometimes things could happen, I guess, and some things do happen. And I don't want to get on that subject, but when it does, God knows the heart, and you know the situation. But we do know this here. You know, a lot of times marriage is talked of about a 50-50 relationship. Well, marriage is not a 50-50 relationship. Marriage is sometimes 100%. Sometimes you go in there, if you walk in the house, you know, I walk in my house at night, and if I say something to my wife and she's at the table or she's at the, whatever she wants to do, because that's her house and she does what she wants to do. Even though as modest as she is and good as she is, when I walk in the house and I say, hey, honey, how are you? And I know she heard me and she don't say nothing, I keep right on going. I know. I've had 35 years of marriage, I've never been in the doghouse. And I'll tell you why. You just listen to what you kind of told and you won't be in the doghouse. She's a religious lady. She knows Jesus. She knows the man at the head of the house, and she don't even go there. But, and I don't mean the head of cleaning the house. I mean the head of the house, the head of the home. That's what God meant. But that house is hers, the way she keeps it, the way she puts it, the way she does. And God didn't go there. He weren't talking about that. He just wanted to make sure that the man was the head of the house. And then he was charged not only with the responsibility and taking care of that family, he was always also charged with the responsibility of seeing them in church, seeing them children get raised, and seeing all things are done according to God's will. Amen? Now, at the same time, when I go in there and when I tell her that, the worst thing I do is I come back by, and if she just somehow didn't hear me, she'll say, well, you didn't speak to me, honey. And I say, well, I'm so sorry. How are you doing? And I'll say it again. And guys, if you have any trouble, pick up on some of this stuff now. It didn't take me long, did it? It take me long, but sometimes it takes a hard head sometimes for this to happen. But, you know, I like to stay in the same room with my wife. And I don't want to be nowhere, you know, in a different room. Something happened in the middle of the night and you never see her again, you'll feel real bad the next day. And I could start crying on that, but I just ain't going to do it right now. But you go in there and you feel your wife may have had a hard day. She might have had a bad day. So you go, no matter really what kind of day you had, it just really don't, guys. I mean, I know they care about your day and all that kind of stuff, but you really need to go in there first and get homework done. Is your wife had a good day? Is everything going all right there? Don't worry about yours right now, okay? You're supposed to be the man. You're supposed to be the macho top guy. And you're supposed to be that guy. So you go in there. And if she says anything, well, I know what, I got a bone to pick with you. I say, yes, ma'am. See there, you're trying to set in that slate. You just get everything kind of going. It might be bad at the end, but I tell you what, if you say much, you're going to make it badder. If they say, if you let me use that word, you're going to make it badder. Josh, I see you laughing right there. You ain't even got married yet. But a commitment that we make to God, when you get saved and you make a commitment to God, if you start serving God, is this little. Guys, y'all look right in there. It's this little. When mom and dad bring you to church, praise the Lord for them. When they tell you what's right from wrong, listen to them because they probably know what they're talking about. Teenagers, when you get up to a certain age, you think you know it all. I promise you really don't know it all. Just remember, mom and daddy, guess what? I promise. Honest, Lord's my witness. They were teenagers too. And they probably felt the same thing that you felt. But in down life's road, we have to mature. But take some of the things that mom and dad says, or maybe the old granddaddy or grandmama. They ain't stupid either. I'm going to tell you right now, they know some things. You can learn more from them than you know what. It's just like being able to write before a test to go up there and the teacher just shows you all the answers and takes it away from you. You can have a better grade than even took the test yet. That's a good way of learning is by listening and not talking. And listening because older people, they do know stuff. But God gave us this beautiful word, this beautiful book to tell us how to live, how to map our lives, everything and all the guidelines on how to go by. And to go wrong, it's because you want to go wrong, and it's because you want to turn a deaf ear. Because he's got it all laid out so good. But when you make a commitment to serve him and you get saved, all God wants you to do is to love him and he and to serve him. But if you love God the way you should, now think about this just for a moment. If you love him the way you should and you love your wife the way you should love her, there's very little that you ain't never going to lay a hand on her. You ain't going to say nothing real ugly to her. You might get a little short sometimes if you don't feel good, but you're going to pay for that. You know, if you don't, I hope she'll get you. Because, you know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. You're supposed to love your wife. It's the way you first saw her. When I first saw my wife, She's not here, is she? She wasn't feeling good. After I was around there about 20 minutes, I kissed her. You know, y'all ever seen that old spearmint commercial? You come on, spearmint chewing gum. Everybody remember that spearmint chewing gum? You just kiss a little longer. Now, there's big red now, but back then, I'm telling you, it had something to do with spearmint. And we kissed for a while. That was the best kiss I ever had. And I said, I got me enough. I took some home with me. And that night, I married her right there in that car. She just didn't know it. Any woman kiss like that, I got to marry her. Don't let her kiss no other guy. Marry that woman could kiss. I'm glad she ain't here because she say, on the first date, don't tell everybody. But I went ahead to tell her the truth. I told her, I said, a man looking good as me is. I said, you had to kiss him on the first date. Oh, Lord. That'll go in there. We got married there, and God blessed us together and gave us 5 good children, beautiful children. And I love all of them, and God really blessed them, and he continues to bless them today. Remember from the love, remember what's going to happen, the depth of the love. When you have that love that you have, and you love God, you're not going to sin against Him willfully. I know the Bible says we'll sin daily, but you're not going to willfully go out and sin daily. If there's something you can see or read, and you know what's wrong, and you love God, and you know what's wrong, you ain't even first going to look at it. And if you get upset, and you go to say something real ugly, and you love God, you ain't even going to say it. But if it does get by and something comes out of your mouth or goes in and enter into your mind, you're going to know right then it's wrong. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you of it. For the love that you've got so much. That's why you ain't going to go whooping up on your wife for being mean to your wife. You love your wife the way you should. In the same respect, you love Jesus. You love God to that same depth in your heart. And when you love Him that way, you're not going to sin against Him, not willfully or not. And if you do, you're going to get rid of it, and you're going to get rid of it quick. You're not going to let it sit there and burden you down and hold over you because you can't stand it. Your convictions will be so great. It'll make you a better servant. But when you're loving Him and when you're serving Him, it's going to make you do everything else in line. And what else is there? It's going to make you pray. When you love Him, you're going to make you pray. It's going to make you think of more when to pray. And that's every time you get a chance. Morning, noon, and night. For that love that's in your heart, all these things just trigger. But that's why he said love is the greatest commandment. If you love people, I want you to take a second tonight. You ain't even got to look around, but I want you just to think in your hearts and in your minds right now of somebody sitting in this building or a family member at home or a friend, somebody you passed on the road the other day, or however somebody said something to you, do you love them? Do you love them? Is there somebody tonight that you just don't love? Now, hey, listen, I'll be the first to tell you, some people are hard to love. Come on, I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, you ain't got to agree with me or disagree with me. Sometimes it's best just to sit real still, don't even move the head. But I'll pick up on it. But there's some people just hard to love. But I can honestly say tonight, there's nobody I know of, praise the Lord, that I don't love tonight. And I'll say it out loud to you, and I'll say it because what I say to you, I say to the Lord, and He knows my heart. But if there is someone, he may be saved and a Christian and going to heaven as well as you. You may not agree and do everything just alike one another. I'm glad everybody ain't like me, amen? I wouldn't want everybody like me. They'd look good as me. They'd want my wife. They'd want everything. I just don't want it. I want you to be you, but you got your own way. And however your way is good. As long as it's all God's way, we okay, right? But if you got a problem with anybody, need to get it worked out. And you say, when I need to get it worked out, I'll call him tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. Amen. We got today. The Lord said today's yours. And that's it. We don't have tomorrow. Get it worked out. Because the same person, you may not have a grudge or hate in your heart. Because you can't hate man and hate and love God. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. If you hated me, if one of you in the night hated me, or you hated Brother Reedy there, and you say you love Jesus, it's the truth, not in you. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Because when he said you should love God with all your heart and all your strength and all your might, he said love thy neighbor. We're all the neighbor. You've got to love people. You might not like them quite so well. You might want to spend a lot of time with them. There's a lot of some people that I love, and I find them hard to love. You said, well, Mike, Brother Mike, would you like to go over there this afternoon and spend the afternoon with them? No. I ain't going. I can't go. They talk about stuff over yonder, I don't know what to be talking about. Or they talk above my head. We're not on the same level. Some people just think kind of compatible. Does that make sense? But it don't make me hate them. People are just different. and I'm not prejudiced, and I'm not racist, and you're supposed to love people. But just say if two of you don't get along quite as well, you need to pray about that maybe. Even though you're both Christians. God may see to it, both of you Christians, both of you got your place, and you got your place reserved up in heaven. And maybe there'd be a room or a building up there, and on Sunday afternoon, God wants y'all to go in there and talk to one another. Oh, boy. You don't never know how it's going to be when you get there, amen? Like, you want to get there. You want to make sure your seat's reserved. And in a few minutes, and I get ready to close this thing out sometime before dark, and I can't see outside. What may happen is I'm going to tell you later tonight as we speaking and as we talking, I want you to say, know this here, that if we don't got a place reserved up there, your place is already reserved down there. Amen? It's already reserved. You say, well, I really ain't reserved a place anywhere. Well, if you ain't reserved in heaven, it's done reserved for you. You know, that's just the way it is. That's Bible, guys. That's not me. But I want you to think about the depths of the love. Think about everybody, because you don't want to go down tonight. Dad and Mommy tell us don't go to sleep and be mad at nobody. That's a true statement. You don't want to do that. And if you got anybody you want to speak to, witness to, talk to, tell them something, you need to go do it. You say, well, I ain't got time. Better take the time. I'm the world's worst on taking time to do good things. But there's a lot of good things I do if I just take the time. I can tell you a couple of stories, but I ain't going to tell you, because if I do, I start back crying. I ain't going to do it. You got to love God. And then God, if you love God, love man, and you're doing all this, you're not going to intentionally sin against him. You're not going to say hurtful things. Let me tell you something about hurtful things. If we get on the neighbor out here tonight and y'all walk out and you go out there and say, well, I like old Brother Mike, okay, but I'll tell you what, he ain't no good speaker. Well, be careful what you say. You might just talk to somebody that did like it. And they might come and tell me. And then I find out about what you said about me. Then I come in, and I'll come and ask you. Hey, I'll come and ask you. I said, what do you say about me, bro? Todd, I want to do this. I will. I said, Todd, what do you say about me? Todd didn't say nothing. I said, what do you say about me, man? And if you ain't got no good to say, don't say none. You know, and I'm preaching to myself the same way sometimes. I go out there the other day, come on, I had a couple guys late coming in from work. And I said, doggone, they should have been here by now. I bet they're all loping. You know, out of fuel, didn't you, Jason? Man, you got to be careful what you say. You got to be all unapologizing. AC Allen said he really eat dirt and apologize. I said, well, you better shut up then. Because he'll say some hurtful. And these hurtful things you say, you know, you can walk up there and just pop me side the head and that'll hurt, but it'll go away in a few minutes. But you say something real bad, that thing hurts to the bone. You know what? And you can tell me you're sorry till you blew in the face, but you can't take that word back you said about me. You said, well, I really didn't mean it. I said, well, why'd you say it then? Well, I was kind of mad. Well, you shouldn't say it anyway. You should have just sit back there and sit on that there for a little while. You saw that thing sideways long enough, you won't say a word, but oi. That's all you're saying. So we've got to be careful what we say. Hurtful things is bad. And to your children and raising your voice or saying something or being angry, and you shouldn't be just shouldn't be that way. Should be Christ-like. Should be loving. Should be the way that God had planned us. Look at Jesus the way he was. See, love took him to the cross. And I shouldn't be talking about that, but that's what it did. And love rolled the stone away. That was on that burn God's and take day. I like that. The angels knew that, but I tell you, love rolled that stone away. If y'all want to go out there on tape 4, song 6, that's where it is. If y'all want to listen to that a while. That's a good song, everybody. That's one that made me cry this afternoon. You'll enjoy studying his word and fellowship. If you love him, you'll want to know more about him. You'll want to understand more about him. All these things, you're prepping yourself for the day of him calling you home. That's what it's all about. If we love, our prayer life will become stronger. It'll grow, and it'll cause you to have great compassion. It's like tonight. If you come up here tonight, y'all come up here, and you got me crying and all of you, I know all of you in church. If one of you come up tonight and is walking out that door right now and say, Brother Mac, I really need $20. I'd give it to you. I would, but it's more than about $1, but I'll give it to you this afternoon. But if I know you're going to ask me for it tomorrow afternoon, if we come back in, I'm going to leave my wallet home. Say, Brother, leave my wallet home. You ever heard that? I mean, you talk about blessings. I'm going to get into blessings in a minute before we get ready to get close to the old end. Somebody ever called you? You know, when you start getting compassion for people, you'll want to help them. You'll want to do things for them, church. Somebody asks you for something or asks you, you see a need, and it ain't all about money. But when you see that note, you won't have to. And it may be money. It might be just to go visit. It might be something somebody come to you and say, hey, would you teach my class for me? It might be where, hey, I'm going to church and I got some stuff going. Would you run down there and pick up a Pepsi for me? Yeah, I'll go get it for you. I'll do this. I'll do that. But don't do it begrudgingly. Do it begrudgingly, you lost your blessing, amen? Don't do that. I mean, you're going to still get the Pepsi. You're going to still get the Coke, but you lost the blessing from up high. But God will bless you. He'll pour so much blessing on you. I'm going to tell you. Let me read something here real quick. I wrote this down so I wouldn't have to find it. When you give to God, when you love Him, get compassionate. Your prayer life extends and boosts. And you'll give your time, your talent, your tithe. Everything that God's asked for, everything that is deserving to be God, shows an act of faithfulness, loyalty, and just doing what you're supposed to do. But Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Y'all, this is a familiar verse. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive. That's good stuff right there. You cannot give God and you cannot do God. The more blessings that you give, oh God, the more blessings God will pour on you. You just can't outdo Him. He is one man you can't outdo. You go out there and follow the good you want to do tomorrow, God can load it back up on you next week. Now sometimes you got to be careful because you can't see the blessing. Okay? Well, not me. I did so and so and so and so. I ain't received no blessing. Well, all of you are here tonight, aren't you? You're not dead. That's a blessing. Yeah, who all have plenty to eat today? That's a blessing. You're eating twice tonight. You here? Who all was here? Who weren't here this morning? It's a couple of you weren't here this morning? Okay. Zach. You got two lessons or two teachings on God's love today and on love, right? That's like eating grits two meals. That's like eating collards, both meals with cornbread. And I like both of them. You got a double dose, but I wasn't going about to change that love because of Mac already had in his message this morning. But I want you to think tonight of all the prep work that you do when you love people. And I think that's essential. And one thing that makes this church this day do is God blessing and working so well because of the love in the church. There's too many churches that do not have the love in the church. And I'm not just sitting there running around. I'm telling you, it's not there. You look at people passing one another down the hall. Look at everybody's always speaking. Everybody's always shaking hands. Always, you see the smiles on people's face. People love people here. And that's the way it should be and where it's always going to be. And that's the way we're going to keep it. And we take the little children. And I want to encourage the middle-aged people, you that may be 25, 30, 40, 50, about like myself, to take the little children as they come by. Little children are special, aren't they? Shake hands with them. Tell them it's good to see them. Take a minute in the hall. Don't just pass them by too fast. As soon as they're growing like weeds, before you know it, they're going to be right on up there. They'll respect you and have a lot of respect for you. If they reach by and grab your pants leg, stop just a minute, see what they got or what they want or what they want to say. Make friends with them. And then some of these wider-headed people, see? I'm getting some minds by them. I just ain't used that greasing and all that. Me and Ray about a lot right there now. Take a minute and say something to us and some of the senior citizens. Because one day, it might be one of the kids, might be you, your age, or one of us. You come here one Sunday, you might not see them. It won't be because we're laying out. It might be because we're going to see Jesus. Yeah, we'll be beat you. We'll be done going home. We'll be going up to see the Lord. But there might have been something you wanted to tell them. Like, Mac, I agree with you. You are the youngest, handsomest guy in church. And you can say that if you want to, men. A lot of the girls have done said it, so I'm going to tell you. Don't you ask your wife that she say that now. I'm just cutting every job right now. I do that to keep them crying. See, that just helps me a little bit get something going there, guys. But I'm really, I did cut up with you tonight, but that is the truth. I'm staying with that handsome partner. I ain't DJing from that. But I want you to think about tonight, about the love. And I got several things that I could finish going over tonight, but I'm not going to keep you much any further. But I want you to think about the depth of the word love as we leave here tonight. And I want you to think about what all it's going to stem to make you pray, to make you serve God, to make you, and draw you closer to the Lord. And it'll make you, when you anger, when you, if you're quick to anger or quick to make decisions to do stuff, it'll make you really think before you do it. It'll make you want to go to church more. It'll make you want to be here more. It'll make you, that if you can be in this house of the Lord, you'll be here when them doors is open. Amen? Because you love Jesus. And if you're not here and can be, then you just need to have a good enough reason, not for the pastor, and not for me, and not for any of the congregation, but for Christ. Why are you not in my house? This is the place to be when the doors are open. Amen? So this love just stems and stems and stems. Here a while back, somebody asked me, said, well, what happened in church, son? I said, man, you missed blessing. Is it, was he? I said, man, you know every time they go up there, you've been in there, it ain't been a Sunday we ain't had a blessing. Don't even ask me that. I didn't ask him where he was. A few minutes later, he said, well, I had to do so, so I could have been there. I didn't say a word because what he had to do weren't good enough reasons for me, but he don't have to answer to me. You know, well, it ain't good enough for me. Have you ever had anybody come up there and that don't go to church and hit your place a few minutes before time to go to church? I've had that to happen several times in my life. And they get there right there about 4:45 to 6:25 to 6:00. He's about 4:25 to 6:00. Hey, how you doing? I ain't seen you in a long time. I said, it's going to be a while unless you go in Sunday school, unless you go in church. Well, I just thought I'd be. I said, I know that. And I missed them too. But they wanted me to hang out with them around the house. And when you come to my house around 5:30 in the evening and it's 6 o'clock church, or you come to my house in the morning time and you want to visit, I don't look at you wanting to come visit me. I look at just somebody sent you. And I ain't talking about Jesus either. Somebody sent you. And I resent that when they do that. I don't really get mad at you, but I do get a little bit upset. But don't come there. If you do come down to my house at 5:30, you need to have a flat tire right outside the road. Or you need to be having a need or something, you know. As a matter of fact, the Father won't fix your tire right then. We'd get it out of church. You ride with me. We might ride on the back of the truck. We go into church. You jump on the back of the truck, let the hay fly in there and the cows and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about, guys. But everything you do, you're prepping yourself for when the time God's going to call you. And if you love God and have your heart and mind in line, you'll never, I'm telling you right now, you have the love for God the way that you should, the way God had it for you. He took it to the cross. Ain't no way, and I'm using good English, ain't no way that you won't make it and have the security in your heart, not because you're so good, not because you're so fine, but because you love God, and God sees it in the bottom depth of your heart. And He knows where you love people or not, amen? He knows. We're going to, I'm getting to get ready to close. And if you would, I'm going to ask you to come up and play just a verse, just as I am.